This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Is it the 5th of May today?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Power of 5th of May.
So for each of you, how was it returning to this? I mean, did you feel comfortable coming back and doing it all over again? And how soon did you know after the second one that you were going to be coming back for number 3?
In my particular case, it was easy. The only pressure was like, did I do something special that I was not totally in control in the second one that made the character so successful, and I may just have forgotten what I did? And that was the question. But no, immediately that I got in front of the microphone, and it was almost like a continuation, actually, of the other one. And as everything is so specific at the beginning. We'll talk about that, but we have a script that actually we know that it's going to be changing all the time in the process of making the whole entire movie, so you don't put so much attention anymore to that. You know that the characters are going to grow in different directions as much as you are involved in the whole entire method of making the movie, and it was just letting yourself go and having fun with it.
Oh, I'm so happy. I love the world so much. It's such a fun world. Then I get to see my old friends, and it's an odd experience, though, because you're in this booth, so it's kind of like being a combination, like being like a goal judge in hockey and in the witness protection program. It's like you're in this thing, and you don't really get like a lot of feedback, you just see the people in the booth, and occasionally they go, let's try another one. So I've developed imaginary friends. I have this imaginary eagle that is with me. I talk to, and if it's a particularly good take, it goes caw. And if it's a great take, it does 3 caws. And I go, what's that? I was pretty good in that one.
So Mike, at this point, do you have input even before the as far as the overall direction of the movies?
No, and nor would I want to. Every time I meet with the people, the team of, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who's just a great artist in his own right, and Chris Miller and Aaron Warner and Andrew Adamson, when you meet with them, their world is so complete and their ideas are so great. The dialogue begins because you're never shown a script. This is the entire script. They don't even know what it is. But you only record like a little bit at a time. So you start to ask questions because, as Antonio was saying, he's like, well, how big is the cat? He didn't even know when he first started.
Absolutely not.
So the dialogue begins with clarification. Like, am I scared at this point? And do I know this person? All that stuff. And what happens is I end up asking the 4-year-old questions, do we have, it's like, I'm always, do we have the airplane tickets? Oh, the airplane tickets. So that's the sort of the way, and I know that I've asked a hard question because they get quiet. So I go, so in the end, blah, 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 and they go, we'll get back to you. Let's go on to the next line. And then they come back and they have answers. And that's kind of the thing. Because I'm not in the room, so when they're writing it. So I come in. But it's been a great experience. These guys are just really committed to it being excellent and quality. Feel like I'm on a Stanley Cup winning team. These guys, Jeffrey literally is tireless. Jeffrey Katzenberg, no aspect of it isn't improved. I think this is the best of the 3. I think it's the animation's gotten better, the story's better, all the characters are great, and it's a great message, well told, and the music is great. And because I usually create the stuff that I do for me, and Antonio's directed twice and he's produced and stuff, I think we were talking before that what we love is just coming in and it being so... just being able to play the,
Antonio, what was it like when you were told that, okay, your voice is now coming out of the donkey? Did you picture something in your head, or did you just do it the same as the cat, you do the cat all the time? Or did you think about
it? I couldn't believe that I was going to be trapped in that sack of potato with hooves. 15 minutes in the movie. But I accepted it. There was no other way. No, I think it creates more comedy for the characters. Yeah. You see a donkey fussing like a cat. And it's actually just make stronger the rivalry between the two characters, and which is great. Because at the end, actually, they love each other very much. But there is something very interesting about those two characters, actually, that I love. And there is kind of a message in there, too. And it's the solitude in which both of them were living until they find this family with Shrek. And actually, that is the essential motive for Donkey to be upset and jealous of, because she just approached him coming from nothing. He was a solitary guy. Nobody loved him. He was just alone there in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly this cat comes with a totally different flair. But in reality, if you scratch a little bit on him, he got no history. You don't know where he's coming from. He's completely alone too. So they are both of them competing for friendship. Yeah. And when they get it, I think that's a beautiful message, besides the message of diversity that the whole entire movie is giving, and the contracultural side of it, which is, it was very important for me, even when I was not part of the family, when I was a spectator, and I enjoyed the first movie, as saying, oh, finally, this is something fresh, this is different, yeah. This is actually taking characters that we all grew with them, you know, as kids, and looking at them from a totally different angle, and just going around with them, and I think that's actually the essential side of the movie, and in my cat is very present because of the fact that he established a contrast very, very strong in what he looks like. You know, he's a very little pussycat, but he doesn't behave like that.
No.
He behaves totally, you know, conquistador. He got all this kind of discourse and so on.
He's got girlfriends in this one. He's got all them.
He got a lot of girlfriends. He didn't decide just to sit his head, as we say in Spain. This is a little translation, you know, just to have a life with a family. No way. You get too many girlfriends now to attend to.
So Puss in Boots was the breakout character in the second film, and now is getting its own feature. How is that shaping up?
It's fantastic. Donkey doesn't have one.
Wow.
I just came out of that and said it.
Wow.
It runs pretty deep, doesn't it?
I was at this chair. Right there. There was a Puss in Boots movement. No, I'm very happy actually that happened. I couldn't expect at all at the beginning that was going to develop like that. Really, I said it to Mike before. You know, I thought that it was called to do a recurring character, like many others in the film. You know, appears and disappears, and that's it. But the character hooked very well with audiences and with the rest of the group. And I'm truly happy to be part of this family, because I think in the back end, you know, besides all the economic stuff surrounding Shrek, it's a very, very profitable movie. But there is something in the family that you immediately see, and it's the fact that they are conscious of having a legacy in their hands that they're going to leave behind, that change the history of animation movies. And that is very important, because they never relax in that aspect. They are always looking for something new. New characters, the creative side is working very heavy, but the technological side too, you have to think that some of the programs that are used in the movie are developed in the same studio. So it's a whole entire team working together in a very strong way to leave something behind that makes sense for all of us. And that is very beautiful, because you feel it. You feel it in the air. You sometimes you get in production that they are very too sloppy, and you just feel that the word they are trying to use just to use the success of the first movie to do something a little bit lesser in terms of economics and make more money, and then you can feel it in the air that it is not working in the same way that the first one. And in this case, it's quite the opposite. It's almost like they push even more as much as we are advancing with the movies. It may just happen that the movies, they don't have the same quality, that is absolutely normal, but the guarantee, there is a guarantee that there is no relaxation in the team, that they are pushing always to go further than the one before was.
Well, it seems that there is going to be, hopefully, a Shrek 4. You know, a lot of other animated movies that are coming out this year have been experimenting by having the actors record together, like Surf's Up, like they all recorded and like improvised a lot of their lines. Mm. Would that be something you'd want to suggest to them to do in the next movie, or do you like the way the process
is? No, I like this process, because I start to fall in love with Puss, and I fall in love with Donkey and Fiona, and when I get there, it's like a radio play, and it's... I mean, I like them all. Like, you know, I may have fallen in love with Antonio. Who hasn't? You know, but there is something great. And the process, they don't even know what the script is, and they're constantly evolving it. I don't think it actually...
It wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be possible to be so creative. Because if you do... if you made an appointment with the 10 actors in one session of a week, right? And the movie would be locked.
Yeah.
There will be no possibility to growing into the movie, developing creatively. In that year and a half, many things happened. Characters go in one direction and you want to develop that story a little bit more. And if we do that, it would be impossible to put these 10 people together 8-9 times in a year and a half because we have many different projects. So it's not only just the fact that we are not working together. I think it's thought in that way because... And it allows them actually to rethink the movie in the same process of creating it.
Mike, handling being Shrek's metamorphosisness, because he's got a lot of things on his plate. Should I be a king? Can I be a dad? Was it, when you saw that, was it like, oh great, more stuff to chew on for Shrek? Or were you happy to see the...
Oh yeah, I feel extremely well served in terms of, you know, stuff to play. In the first movie, it's getting over... You know, the self, he has to learn to love himself in order to be loved. He has to learn to love himself in order to be in a marriage. And then this one, he has to learn to love himself in order to step into fatherhood or be the father of a country and or the king of a country. And this that inner conflict, if you will, I mean, you can feel free to slap me if I cross into the line of pretension. But it's to me, I approach this as a dramatic part with some comedy. And I get to really believe. I mean, and that's me happiest, is having to believe that whatever that I like making stuff, so it's like just believing and making, and that's the fun part. And so I was really happy that they... And that unity of 1, 2, and 3 is the thing that I'm blown away most about. Yeah.
Last question, please. I want to add,
are you currently writing anything right now?
I am.
Who do you think is going to win the cup?
Oh, gosh.
That hurts.
Here's the problem. It hurts. You asked the hockey one.
Like, I wanted to combine the two.
Well, I'll make a prediction. The Leafs are not winning the Stanley Cup this year. Oh, the pain every year. Why do I put myself through it? I get so emotionally involved. Buffalo's doing... I didn't watch this last week. It just got too painful. Buffalo's still doing good, right?
They're tied?
Yeah. They'll win. I predict Buffalo. Now, on the other thing, On the average, I take 3 or 4 years between movies because I create them, then I write them, then I produce them, and then film them. In 2 months, I'm starting a movie called The Love Guru that I've spent the last 2.5 years developing. I came up with this character, and I would tour it in little theaters in New York, just have little secret shows. The Marx Brothers used to tour their movies for a year before they filmed them. I did this all the same process with Austin Powers. When I did Wayne's World, I had Saturday Night Live to tour it. When I left Saturday Night Live, I toured Austin Powers. And in the last 3 years, I've been developing the Love Guru, which it's at Paramount, and I'm shooting in August. And then after that, there's a slot, and I'll probably do the Keith Moon movie.
I was going to ask you about that.
That's also been in development during that time. See, things, when you write stuff, I didn't write the Keith Moon. That's Donald Margulies, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright. He wrote an amazing, brilliant script. But he's invited me into the process, like, what do you think? What do you think? And I'm like, great. The Love Guru is... You know, the average movie takes 6-0 months from the first kind of like, could this be a movie, to it being on the screen. I tend to take about 36 months. But I am there all 36 months.
Could you tell us about
the
character?
That's all the time we have on Toronto.
Yes. He is a Canadian who's raised in India, becomes a guru, and helps the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, you know what? I feel I did hog, and I apologize. Did you want to ask, or?
This is the last question.
I
want to
ask a question.
I just wanted to know if
he
had a favorite over
the three.
Sure.
This one?
Yeah.
No, it's the it has incorporated 2 and 3 as the wonderful Antonio Banderas.
Thank you.
Antonio,
thank you.
I hope I didn't
play this. In every round table, they asked me that, but I didn't receive a call from Robert. Knowing Robert, he will. Yeah. If I'm going to be in,
that's the only way I'll see a cup in my lifetime.
Tomorrow we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I can't even tell you. Anyway, see you later.
Bye bye.
Jeez, I hope I didn't hog. I get chatty. Anyways, where would I take it?
When you get the cup, when you're filming, where are you going to take it?
Probably, you know, they're so proprietors of the cup, or they probably won't let me near it. But I take it to Lake Ontario and swim with it.